And yet prefer to remain on this side of manifestation so that Only a few, just a few, may profit by the graces and by the work. No wonder this could be the test of the greatest renunciation anybody can undertake. To renounce the greatest good in that strong hand, and they just give it up for the sake of suffering humanity. So in that sense, we have to remember Lord Shiva, who represents, as Krishna said, Adiyagna, the supreme, the first, the primal sacrifice. You will not be able to go very detail about the symbology or the meaning of Shiva, which is wrong, at many places in secret doctrine. But we can come back to the subject of these triple virtues, charity, austerity, and sacrifice. We can go straight to charity. It seems that charity seems to be an easy thing for most people. It appears, oh, charity and love. There is this, the other word, austerity, and sacrifice is a frightening word for many people. Giving in charity is very easy. Giving to donation in to church or temples, not easy. But secretly it is like buying a ticket for heaven. In the heart of heart yourself, making sure that you have the advance booking in your heavenly place. Actually, some people do that with an idea to assure themselves that they have a really fine place somewhere in heaven. So it seems the charity is simple and easy. In a way, it is easy because, as Vishnu says, the charity, justice, and generosity are human qualities. And it should come naturally to man. It should become spontaneous to human being, if you are human being at all. So that it should come out from the heart and almost instantaneously as the river flows on its own from high level to lower level. Then why does it not happen so? What is the reason? This is what we are going to undertake now. That why is it so difficult? The difficulty comes about continual involvement with our personal life, about which I further speak. But we have a very good definition of charity in our reading, in our quotation. It is that in your hand. Very beautifully described by St. Paul in this letter to Corinthians. Charity suffereth long, and yet is kind. It envieth not, wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, but must behave itself unseemly. And this is important. Seeketh not his own. Is not easily the world, thinketh not evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Balance all things. This is the balance all things. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, and yearneth all things. This is the purpose. Charity never fails. So this simple definition of charity, as St. Paul gives, practically covers almost all the three. Charity, yagna, and tapas. See, it is an all-inclusive virtue, according to St. Paul, because it is the power of the soul. You begin at one end and you will have to undertake the other two, take into account. See, from the living from which it is taken, it is describing the very first portal before a disciple enters further on the path. The very first portal is called Dana, the key of charity and love in water. So at the very threshold of that, one has to undertake that first, you might say first capacity, the first duty which would be aspiring to spend. Because without dana or without charity, as St. Paul himself says, all else is useless. Not only that, he says you sound like empty symbols, like empty sounds. You may be a great power, you may have great magical feats, But if you don't have charity, you are as nothing, as St. Paul said. So important it is to St. Paul, my soul. And he said it is the entry point. And it is a bit easy for most of us because it comes so spontaneously to us. There is a very humorous situation. We saw a film called Fiddler on the Roof. And the elderly couple, they are celebrating their daughter's marriage. The daughter, for the first time in her marriage, was a law marriage. And it was quite a surprise because it was an Orthodox family. So the husband, the elderly man, whispers to his wife's ear, "Do you love me?" And she's taken aback. She's taken aback. This is never spoken by men in public. So she says, but then she goes up in a beautiful musical tune that in this family life, I love my children, and I love to do this, and I love to do that, and all this beautiful description of her family life she gives. And then she says, it's first to her, "Do you call this love?" And she asks him, "Do you call this love?" So nothing to romanticism about this love, it's just coming straight from one heart to another. And that's what is shown in that beautiful movie, Fiddler on the Roof. So, it is like loving tender care. And somebody said, you require only these three vitamins, LTC, loving tender care, which sums up practically everything, because it will demand austerity, it will demand sacrifice. And it is not merely a matter of doing, it is a matter of the heart, it's a matter of quality of the heart. It's a matter of disposition. So that one seems to forgive his charity. Take a simple instance. It's so difficult to forgive and still more difficult to forget. And if you can do that out of compassion, out of pity for human beings, because human beings are liable to err. There is no one amongst us who is perfect. So to that extent, charity will be able to let go, forgive. It's a form of an austerity. It requires a amount of mercy on ourselves to let go and forgive and forget. As simple as that. And pity, to feel something for others. Even though you are unable to do anything without lifting a finger, but wishing well. This carrying on that mentality, the carrying on this attitude of being well-wisher, of having a good will for the whole of humanity. You start the day with that. This student had a very surprising experience. Once he asked a 12-year-old girl, he says, "What do you ask from God after your prayer?" "Savunu bhulutam." She was saying many answers, "Savunu bhulutam." I said, "Did you ask him for that?" "Yes, my mommy told me. Sav jano, sav dunyano bhulutam." So she was asked to ask only for one thing, let this world be happy. Now this is the beginning of wisdom. It's really the beginning of wisdom because if you really feel like that, the rest of it comes easy. St. Paul and some other guy, St. Paul, who says love and then do what you like. It's impossible to do what we like if you really do. Because then you are so much concerned about other person. You yourself, you will put sensitively, you put yourself into the shoes of another to find out where the shoe pinches. In fact, some people are intuitive way of knowing what pinches you, where you suffer, what ails you. This is a kind of discipline if you undertake. You will find that someday we can go into what is called a spiritual cleanliness. Ability to see into the hearts of them. Without making any effort, you are able to see people through and through. Why? Because of this sympathetic bond we have developed in the earlier periods of our existence. The life of the life of the life. If we can respond like this, if we are sensitive to other people's needs, then this quality develops in us, this faculty unfolds in us. So this dana quality ultimately gives us the power to be able to dig into the thoughts and minds and hearts of other people. Therefore, the third reading is equally important. The third reading is there. Let the soul, this is one of the aspects of charity. Let the soul lend its ear to every cry of pain, like as the lotus bears its heart to drink the morning sun. Spontaneously, effortlessly, just as with the tendency of the lotus to turn towards light. If this can happen to us spontaneously, every time you hear cry, you hear those voices. It happened to Abhinav Lincoln, excellent instance in his life. He was going on a coach, a horse coach, towards a committee, a council, a committee meeting, you know, of the ministers of Delhi. And then he heard a cry of a child. So he said, what's this? He asked the postman, stop, stop. Because postman was on the top. He said, what's happening? The postman said, oh, little piglet. It is sunk into the mud and can't come out. He said, so he just opened the gate, he just went there with his own bare hand and picked up the piglet out. Dirtied his pants, dirtied his clothes. Then came back and then attended the meeting. Those ministers around him were so shocked. Everybody was well dressed and looked. Here the president of America, you will say, he's dressed like this. It's only the postman who does it, as to why it happened. So this cry of pain affects some people. It affects them very deeply and very deeply. About Abhinav Lincoln, I think we should remember this week because his birthday falls on 11th of this month. But there are many, many such stories regarding this. See, once at the end of the war, he declared that all those the prisoners of the opposite camp, they should be released. Me, a lady who was also one of the ministers, says, these are our enemies. He said, am I not making them my friends by liberating them? This is my way of making friends. Don't create enemy. After the war, there are no enemies. And after the victory, you see, after the victory, there are no enemies. They have to be liberated. And mind you, he was so socially concerned that he raised his strong voice at the risk of his life, and actually was killed because of that, for liberating the slaves from the slave trade. So this kind of sensitivity, this kind of consciousness, this kind of awareness of what's going on, what is so social? One of the qualities of Honesty Lord is not merely a soft part, not merely this, but actually awareness of what's happening around us. That is called broadening our consciousness, broadening our mind. What is happening around us? And once you are sensitive, what's happening to the earth? What is earth groaning? This is what it is. What it is doing? And to find out the cause. And when you know about the cause, and then you will find a figure at ourselves. As Mr. Jar says, that it is I who have contributed towards you. Must have contributed. Because the liberty should not have happened in my lifetime. And then how can we say it happened to somebody or it was somebody who responded to somebody? Even I am also equally responsible as a citizen of this country. If this has happened to this country, I am also responsible morally. And what am I going to do about it? To do about it is to reform not that man, but to reform myself. Because if I want to reform the world, if I want to reform people, if I reform my society, it begins, as I said, charity begins at home. It begins with ourselves. Why am I grudging and complaining about the world has gone to the dogs and this is happening, a lot of corruption? As the president said, President Roosevelt, the buck stops here. The buck is the money that is passed on. You know what kind of money? Corrupt money. Which was passed on. The buck stops here. It will not last any further. And it is being passed on. You know that how you corrupt a minor officer, it is passed on to other officers through him. So sometimes somebody must put an end to this. And that also is changing. So it's not merely a matter of sentiment. It's a matter of disposition, it's a matter of attitude, it's a matter of giving oneself.
So that when you give in charity, it's an act of charity.
It is like giving oneself. As a Chinese proverb says, that do not send a donation or a coin by your servant. You yourself go to the doorstep and give it to the poor man. You yourself feed the man who is hungry. Not let the servant do it for you. I mean, personal hand. So that both hand, head and heart, all three are involved in this act. Now, the whole difficulty about this is human nature. So ultimately it all comes down to human nature. See, whole human being is so identified with himself. So even whatever happens, oh me, immediately oh me. If you hear of some sudden event taking place somewhere else, we immediately say, what will happen to me if I am there? We immediately identify ourselves with other people's difficulties as if it is going to happen to you. Oh no, nothing should happen to me. See, our instinct of self-determination is so strong, it's so difficult to forget us. So the first thing to be done is self-forgetfulness, self-centeredness. That we should put ourselves at the center and put ourselves in, that is the goal to achieve. And in another situation that somebody says, oh, you so and so, you get out of my circle, you are out of my circle. And the fellow answers, okay, you draw the circle around yourself, but I'll draw a wider circle and take you in. So you took me out of your circle. I'm going to draw a wider circle and take you in. This is a kind of, this is charity. This is a kind of a largeness of heart. Having merits towards none, charity towards all, where Abraham Lincoln's word. Charity towards all, merits towards none. Look at the continuous feeling of the world. And these are the people who are trying to themselves largeness. That is why he was killed. He was shot. You'll find many, many great martyrs are those who are willing to die for others. They are secretly wanting to do something for others. And they invite this kind of thing. So that anyone wants, they want his life for the dream. And he saw his own dream, that his body was lying, that he was already dead. And yet, knowing and his wife wanted to open himself, required no security for himself. Nowadays, these ministers have got a whole regime of officers going behind them and stopping the whole nation. So this is the awareness and response. And the word response is a very beautiful word because it means responsibility. Because to respond means to respond with some responsibility. Because if you have responsibility, you will at once respond to your duty, to the place you are in, where you are placed. So that you are an adhikari. The adhikari doesn't mean to have the authority. In ancient times, the adhikari means the one who has responsibility to look after that particular department. Adhikari means responsibility to look after the department, not to be the leader of men. Now, and this, we can go to the fourth thing because that also is very, very interesting. He says, and it's a very beautiful statement. He said that only palliative, only palliative, this is secret doctrine, huh? The only palliative to the evils of life is union and harmony. The brotherhood in a two and not simply name. The suppression of one single bad cause will suppress not only one but a variety of others. This last thing. It's a tremendous psychological, a kind of a occult violence. Suppression only one cause can prevent not only the effect of one, but multiplicity of effects. But are we able to suppress one single cause? What is it? It is correct. And the Guru says, all good and evil things in humanity have their roots in human character. One single sentence tells everything. It is human character. All that good and good thing that is happening around us is the lack of that. Something wrong somewhere. But then what can you do about it? People say, but then if the good thing is correct, what can you do about it?
they said the box stops here. And then Roosevelt once says, let me be at one less stronger in the world. Oh, let me be one less stronger. It meant thousands of numbers, okay, okay. Let me be one less. That is his contribution to world happiness. To be one less bigger man, one less current man, is actually a contribution to world happiness. Because it is this one by God, as Dhammakara says, as Buddha says, that is drop by drop, you can increase the weight, like the lake filling up with the drops. See, if you see this minute, small, small drops of sweetness, love, charity, you can increase and make the sweetness of the ocean of samsara, make it sweet. You see this little act of charity, then you can do it. But what about the only charity for this small years of life? Is, it means what? It means misfortune. But it also means morality. Morality. And the only solution therefore is, the only remedy is altruism. And it is the only cure for all human beings is altruism. In action, in real brotherhood in action. And not just name. And suppression of one cause can prevent tremendous amount of possibilities of human suffering. So, definitely it boils down to responsibility for ourselves. So that we need not go somewhere else. We can go to at least a philosophical basis why there should be charity. Not because we are in India, not coming. As we just mentioned, it should come naturally. As we just mentioned, but to us means which part of us? This is where philosophy steps in. Because it tells you, in our essential nature, we are children of life. We are actually luminous beings. The essential part of our nature is the very reality, the very ocean source of light. That there is one divine principle of life and light. And we are the fragments, we are fragments, each one of us. And being children of light, naturally we are all totally interrelated, caused, linked to each other. And within that ocean of life, we are these drops, or we are these sparks. And being sparks of divinity, since we are interlinked and interconnected, any event happening on one side is bound to have repercussions on the other side. So that this interlinkage affects both ways. Others, just as like infection, which is happening at one place, it can infect others. Similarly, cheerfulness, if you bring cheerfulness in a party, that's why in the party there are always people who are called. Someone who can make everybody cheer, everybody cheerful. In parties, they want some long faces. People who are able to tell jokes. People who are able to make others happy. Not merely by jokes, but just being them. There are people whose very presence is auspicious. Their presence is so auspicious because it creates an atmosphere of goodwill. It creates an atmosphere of friendship. Because they carry on their life with a smile on their face. They know only, and then shake hands, their handshake is warmth. In the very act of shaking hands, there is warmth. Even if their hands are cold, physically. You know, this is what happens. When they talk to people, they put their hand on their shoulder. A little personal touch. When they visit the sick, they actually challenge that person, physically. These are the little, little things in life which gives sweetness to life. Small things of life, it will help to take, put your hand in your pocket and give it to get rid of the beggar. Or put thousands of money in charity box in the temple so that you get some advantage from God. It should come naturally and spontaneously. Because you carry yourself with that atmosphere around you and within you. And we can go a little further than that. And in the same line as palliative, this next thing talks about the world problem. The universe groans. Many universe groans under the weight of such debasing actions. And none other than the self-sacrificing labor. Karma relieves it. You don't have to go further, even that much is enough. In fact, it is in response to this Lord Zarathustra, like Krishna, came and taken took an avatar. The advent of the avatars have begun when there is too much suffering in this world. And when the earth cries out, see this groans, the earth groans. And Gathas is described as a cow, the earth is described as a cow, which cries out to our husband and says, what are you doing? Why are you not protecting us? And in response, a conference is made among this, where Ramesha spent us. And Zarathustra is selected, is sent out into the world as a savior. And Zarathustra, in one of his prayers, says, he doesn't ask for anything for himself. He asks for only two things. He asks for purity, ashoy, for himself. And he says, strength. Strength so that I can protect us. Strength so that I can work for us. Strength that I can help us. So the great ones sacrifice themselves with that sure, pure motive. The only motive is to help us. Their heart goes out to them. They are willing to die 100 deaths. As Christ says, and he actually wept and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could take in my wings. You know, he said, I'm like a bird, white bird of peace. How I can take in my wings and protect you? He cries out, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And this kind of cry of the soul. So further he says, the universe closes. Would you particles of divine wisdom? It's a beautiful message from our great teacher, Deshpidi. Will you be the partakers of divine wisdom? Are you aspiring to wisdom? Or want to be theos of this? And I said, oh, that you as the gods do, when incarnate. The gods, that you are asked to imitate them. Feel yourself the vehicle of the holy man. Feel mankind as part of yourself. Identify yourself with them and act accordingly. So that to share with humanity's great pain is the same as identifying yourself with humanity. So this is how it is. Its opposite is sense of separation. So this instinctive sense of little circle around ourselves, a protective shield around ourselves. Don't touch me now. Touch me now. Keep yourself distance. Carry your face as though keep your distance. You don't like people to come to them. They carry such a face, it's enough. You know, that kind of thing, not a welcoming kind of face. Because they are afraid that you will be bombarded with so many people. They will become nuisance. They will not take care of them and them. There are people who are willing to accept their nuisance. In fact, some of them, you have heard about this American organization. They go out of the way to places where there are lonely people. Only one single lonely person. And regularly visit that person before he goes into depression. This is a kind of training to be given. And there are volunteers who are willing to do it. So this is a kind of what's called Christian charity. But this is a spontaneity which should happen. And anybody who does that spends his time. That is time, money and what they say. He doesn't have to spend anything on that person. He just has to say hello to that person. And you know, one case you see that that person was speaking Konkan, the patient was speaking Konkan. And this chap was speaking a little bit of Marathi and much of English. So there is a communication gap. But somehow they managed it with that woman. The woman was saying so many things about Konkan anyway, and he was able to understand and respond. And I asked him, how could you understand Konkan? He said, somehow that I knew what she was talking. But this kind of gift comes up, this kind of faculty comes up when we are really at heart with the other beings. And then the words of Christ. In as much as you have done unto one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it to me. This is the kind of thing which is put in Mother Teresa's ashram. A large blessing. Inasmuch as you have done unto one of the least of my brothers, you have done it to me. Mother Teresa was once asked, how can you wash this dirty fellow's full of filth, full of dirt, lying in gutter, and with her own bare hand, other than men pouring water, with her own bare hand she was washed that time. And then she became too old to do that. Then she came and she said, "Lord, how can you do it?" He said, "I don't see dirt, I only see Christ in it. That is all, I could see only that light in it. I could see that these are fellow human beings, not only human beings. That there is a Christ in him, in every human soul, there is that Christ in him, that light." And because of this, she had no filthiness about it. She didn't feel it is filthy. This is a kind of self-acceptance. And that is where the motto. So not that charity is a reason, wrong label and that. But even with another hungry for, he, somebody approaching for a new orphanage. And he wrote a check of, by mistake, he wrote 2,000. I'm sorry, he wrote $2,000 a check. But in the newspaper it was printed 20,000. So he was so ashamed. So he called for salary and says, "Come, I'll give you another check. But on one condition, that on the placard where you put the new thing, that inscription, please don't put my name." And then he says that I was lonely and you took me in. And I'm not convinced. I was totally stranger to you and you took me. These are the biblical statement. That the Christ is described always as knocking at the door. She is knocking at our door. And we don't respond to that. And because we don't respond to that knocking, we allow that person to get away. So sometimes this kind of feeling of charity comes to us naturally and spontaneously. Immediately, as well as what Mr. Judge says, respond immediately as soon as the thought of charity comes to you. A kind of feeling comes to you, do it. Suppose you want to visit the person, do it. Because otherwise there will be passing. That feeling of wanting to help will just pass away if you don't respond on that. Suppose you want to write a letter to a friend. Wait on the spot, wait as early as possible, lest that original feeling goes away. And you will find that if you really delay, it will pass away from that moment. So the spontaneous immediate action is necessary. And then further on, he said that service of man is service of God. That is, their best who loveth both great things and so on. It's a very beautiful in Psalms, he loveth best, he prayeth best, who loveth best your great things and so on. So the kind of prayer we want to do, we did not do it. This mighty bhavana, a very beautiful Buddhistic way of meditation. And sitting yourself quietly and thinking of the world and wishing them well. As you said, kul janam bhavu thajam. You know, this kind of simple statement. Wishing nothing else for myself, but for the world. Then wishing well of others, because I am the part of the world, it will also help me. If the world is happy, I am also the part of the world's happiness. If the world is miserable, I am also the part of the world's misery. Now this kind of continuous self-identification of a sense of goodwill carrying on without failing. And it becomes a second nature. It starts with a small thing. It happened in the case of Rabindranath Tagore. His father used to take him out in the marketplace. And one pleasurable thing which Rabindranath, small boy, would enjoy was his father would give him a few coins in his hand. He said, "You give charity wherever you want to give." So passing through the whole village, there are beggars on the way and around here the temple and everywhere. So this boy used to enjoy giving coins. Because those beggars used to put their hand on his head or say something sweet to him. And he felt a kind of a spontaneous response. Teaching a small child to do charity, act of charity, from childhood is absolutely necessary. And this, and letting go, especially among brothers and sisters, let go. Let go your share. So you don't quarrel about your share. Give up your share for the sake of another. So charity begins at home. So we don't have to give a lecture of this kind of thing. We can do that at home. The world will be really a happy place to live. And How does it come back to us? This is a very beautiful statement given by Devotee of Sadhguru. For every flower of love and charity he plants in his neighbor's garden, a loathsome will disappear from his own. And so, this garden of God's shall blossom. So that, see, here is a marvelous law of all psychology. You can mean it, if you are struggling with one wrong habit, one loathsome habit. He said that weeds, what is this weeds in our own nature? These are the weeds which you want to throw out. And they struggle and struggle against our own bad habits. And the only way to do it is not to fight against it. One life in the park says the same thing in the last thing. If you want to do that, if you want to get rid of the desire nature, the loathsome thing, then what you should do is change. This is it. Put flower in the neighbor's garden. In that which make his garden beautiful. Take pains to do something secretly. It happens lovely to brothers. There were two brothers. One was married man with family, another was it happened in Russia. One was a bachelor. So that year there was an abundance of wheat generated. Both were not gardens, they were tillers. So the fellow who was unmarried, he said, oh my poor fellow, you got a lot of family, secretly went to cover so many bag full of this and put it in the place where his brother's granary was kept. The other brother was thinking, oh poor fellow, my brother, we are not married, we have not found marital happiness, let me do something for him. So he took also and put it into his. And next morning they found that they were equal. The God says to them, I mean, this is a very touching story. I mean, you can bring tears to the eyes of how strong can you say something you can do that? So, flower of love planting in neighbor's garden is like this. That secretly, that fellow, you know about it. When he's asleep, you go and plant the rose. Not literally, do something to him that will change him. And the best way to do it is find him. If a neighbor is quarrelsome, troublesome, keep smiling at him, you will win him over. You will win him over, one day you will win him. So, there are stories after stories about that. And I think that we can end here with the very two things which are not there. But I can say really about this. About this is from William Law. Hence, it is about this false sense of mortification. Hence, you can learn the reason why many people lose the benefit. But are even worse for all their mortification. In spite of mortification, they are not so well. It is because they take them to be the real part of their ritual holiness. And so rest in that, and look no further, and grow full of self-esteem and self-admiration for something to boast about, and their own progress in that. And these people are very serious judges. They can do a pass or do this kind of penance, and if nobody is not doing it, they are very bitter about this. They are very condemning others. People think that I'm holier and they like to condemn another fellow witness. So this is an uncharitable attitude and this is a false sense of mortification. And the other one is from Alok Pandey. And this is a very nice, it sums up, especially for the wealthy student. And helping each other among ourselves to move and grow towards the source of all life and love, to help unleash the hidden springs of the soul, unleash the hidden springs of the soul, to inspire awakened man towards a new vision of sublime peace and where truth and love and peace and happiness dwells, as permanent inhabitants. This is real service. This is real service. So we can take up your questions first. She wanted to go and bargain with her. But then when he stood before her, and she looked at him. She said, yes. And he just smiled at her and looked at her earring. It was a very beautiful earring. And he said, you have a very lovely earring. He really said that. And she was, for the first time, that her face became a little soft. And then in his heart, he said, come on, let me wish her well. I'm wishing you well. You are not going to be angry with me. He said, yes, but what can I do for you? My goodness, I was surprised. She responded like this. So this is what happens in our small marketplace, which is possible to apply. And this power is able to see Christ one day in the hearts of all beings. Literally, you are able to see. But the beginning has to be in this small way. These are the small, small stories. You see, this, what is the chicken soup for the, for this or that. There are lovely, lovely stories. Yeah, it's worth reading them. You see, and President Radha Krishna said, that teach your children to see these lovely epics and the stories of great men. Teach them that first. From the very beginning, go on telling them stories of heroism, stories of charity, stories of great sacrifice, and so on. You will find that that's more than enough for the world current generation. The other thing will take care of itself. The other thing will take care of you. The whole society will rise. Those lovely epic stories are there which arouse our blood to do as Karna did, as Krishna did, as Arjuna did. You know, that kind of stories. And you can end with those.